And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. It's Thursday. That's the day we invite our good friend Jaywin Russick back into Studio A to talk about some theatrical stuff. Hey, Judy, how you doing?
Nice to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about The Revolutionists. It's a play that's at the Everyman Theater. Is this about any particular revolution?
Yes, it is. It's about the French Revolution, the Reign of Terror. Marie Antoinette is a character. She might be the only familiar name in the show for most listeners. There are three other characters, all women. Charlotte Corday, who assassinated Jean-Paul Marat. There's a female playwright from this period called Olympe de Gouges. And one fictitious character, Marianne Angel. She is a composite character of a free Caribbean woman, a revolutionary who is spying on the French government. And these four women come together because each one wants Olympe to write something for her. Marie wants Olympe to write, help improve her image, Marie Antoinette's image. Charlotte Corday wants some last words to say before she's guillotined, which is looming. And Marianne, who's an old friend of Olympe's, wants her to write pamphlets for her cause. The problem is Olympe has writer's block. So on one level, The Revolutionists is about a playwright trying to write a play, which is exactly what Olympe says she doesn't want to do. Here she is, played by Megan Anderson, brainstorming with Dawn Ursula's Marianne.
Set now. Paris, France, 1793. The people's revolution has risen up with force enough to remove the king from power.
And from his own head.
Exactly. His danger, mortality, oh, this is good. An epic battle for freedom and peace and power.
For white men.
Exactly. Which is why this play could be about women showing the boys how revolutions are done. Yes.
Megan Anderson and Dawn Ursula, they're part of the ensemble at the Everyman Theater. That they're in that clip, they're in The Revolutionists, now at Everyman. So, Judy, is this one of those plays that imagines one of those meetings that never actually took place?
Well, the character of Marianne explains at the end that Olympe never actually met these women, and they couldn't have all gotten together because Marianne is a fictitious character. Playwright Lauren Gunderson is basically turning liberté, égalité, fraternité, the motto of the revolution and later of France, she's turning that into liberté, égalité, sororité, sorority. So it is a play about female solidarity and empowerment. Speaking of empowerment, which is a much more recent catchword, there are a lot of very funny anachronisms in this play. There are references to musicals, which haven't been invented yet. There is a reference to sequel potential. Olympe talks about writing meta theater, a play about a play with herself as a character, and that's really what's going on. She's writing the play that we're seeing. There also are a couple references to Les Miserables, but that actually was a different rebellion. It took place 40 years later than this play, than the French Revolution. Les Miserables is set in the 19th century, but anyway, little license there.
those revolutions look the same, don't they?
I do have to say, particularly after intermission, The Revolutionist gets very talky.
The people doing the talkie are four women. There's only four actors in the play. They're very different characters. I mean, do they convey those distinctions? It's kind of unusual to have a play with four women leads or ensemble.
Yeah, they really are all leads. It's true. And they do convey those distinctions very, very well. Some credit for this obviously must go to the director, Casey Stengel, who is also a woman. Megan Anderson comes across very self-possessed as Olympe, but she's a woman who's more comfortable behind a desk than in the fray. Dawn Ursula, who is always a strong presence, is very credible, making Marianne a woman who is really ready to sacrifice absolutely everything, but she's also a true friend of Olympe's, whom she's trying to spur on. Emily Kester is the only cast member who is new to Everyman, the only one who's not a member of the Everyman Ensemble, and she is a breath of fresh air. She is young and brash and angry as Charlotte Corday. Her appearance, the costumes are by David Burdick, and her appearance is among these funny anachronisms. She has black lipstick and nail polish. She wears blue Doc Martens on her feet. Beth Hilton is wonderfully over the top as Marie Antoinette. And if you can't be over the top as Marie Antoinette, then I just don't know.
Find other work. Yeah.
She plays her as flighty. She has this spoiled attitude. I wrote down in my notebook, Real Housewives of Versailles. Let's listen to a clip. You'll hear what I mean.
I know what most people think of me. It's not very nice. And I deserve some of it. And I had a feeling I might die sooner rather than later, but I would very much like later to know that I was a real person who bled. I gave birth in a closed room with 200 people watching, so just give me a little credit here. I care. I care so much about my people and my country. I just need better press.
And she needs to not say stuff like, let them eat cake. That's Beth Hilton playing Marie Antoinette in The Revolutionists at the Everyman Theater. So, Judy, I can imagine some parallels between the French Revolution and today. I mean, that's big in theater these days to draw these, you know, resonances with contemporary times. Does that happen in this one?
Not overtly. But that may be one reason the anachronisms are included, to remind us that these issues are not all in the past. The play argues against super-rich oligarchs, and it argues for women to take a stand and to band together in a male-driven society.
Well, that sounds pretty current. The New Yorker magazine recently profiled this playwright, Lauren Gunderson, and they said something about her being the most popular American playwright you've probably never heard of. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, that article actually was inspired by another magazine, American Theater, which does a survey every year. And this year, Lauren Gunderson is the most produced playwright in American regional theaters, with the exception of Shakespeare. She covers a very wide range of subjects. She has plays about scientists and artists, math. Her play about Shakespeare's First Folio is right now at the Roundhouse Theater in Bethesda. I've only seen one other of her plays. It was called I and You. I saw it only about four seasons ago. It was a two-person play with a very strong Walt Whitman connection. Like The Revolutionist, that play also deals with the power of writing and literature. It has life and death consequences. I and You has a terrific twist at the end. I found it a much stronger play than The Revolutionists, which sometimes feels as if Lauren Gunderson is just trying a little bit too hard. But I have to say, Everyman's production is very well done. Excellent performances.
Interesting. Lauren Gunderson, she's new to me. I mean, that name is new to me. And she's the most produced playwright behind
Shakespeare.
Yeah, she's
been done in Washington a good bit.
Well, if you're going to be number two, it's always good to be number two behind Shakespeare. Just got a couple seconds
left. Number one, yes, you're right.
Yeah, number two behind Shakespeare.
Yes, actually.
Before we go, though, there's some big news out of Baltimore Center Stage. What's going on down there?
Well, they have just announced the final production of the season. This is going to open in May. Outgoing artistic director Kwame Cuellar Ma is going to direct a new show called Soul, the Stax Musical. It has a script by Matthew Benjamin. It's about Stax Records, which I imagine you're familiar with. This was a Memphis label that launched the careers of people like Otis Redding and the Staple Sisters, Wilson Pickett, Isaac Hayes.
Yeah, so he took on Bob Marley the last time, and now he's going to take on some other really legendary figures in African-American music. Terrific. Well, that's going to be fun. We look forward to that and talking to Kwame Cuellar Ma about that as the time draws nigh. So today we've been talking about The Revolutionists at the Everyman Theater in Baltimore. It's there until January 7th. We've got a link to details about the showtimes and all that stuff at WIPR.org/midday. So next week we don't have a review, but the week after that, first review of the new year will be a show called The First Date. Where is that going to be?
That's a small musical. I haven't seen it. Looking forward to it very much. I hadn't even heard of it before, and it will be at the Spotlighters.
All right. Well, Happy New Year, and good to see you, Judy. Thank you for all of the information you have shared with us here in 2017, and we look forward to doing it some more in 2018. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to all theater makers and theater goers.
Indeed. Lunch for our guests today here on Thursdays is provided by Eddie's of Roland Park. Eddie's is a full-service market with locations on North Charles Street and on Roland Avenue in Roland Park. Their deli features sandwiches and salads with specials each and every day listed on their website, eddiesofrolandpark.com. That's going to do it for us today. Tomorrow, the one and only Gil Sandler is my guest. 15 years ago, when he was 80 years old, he began a series that has become a beloved fixture on WIPR's airwaves, his Baltimore story. So we're going to get the story behind the Baltimore stories with Gil Sandler and fellow historian and raconteur Fred Rasmussen of the Baltimore Sun. Hope you can join us tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. Stay tuned for another edition of Tinsel Tales. That's part of our holiday programming here on WIPR. That's on the way right after a break for the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.